12, and our feature this week is The Nature Diary from The Advertiser, and this will be read by Pat and Bill.
Gardens have provided a link between people and nature for many years. Large Victorian houses often had a substantial ornamental garden, and even during the 1950s and 1960s, modest houses were often being constructed with a small front garden and a larger space at the rear for growing vegetables. Now, most houses are built to the edges of the available land, with car parking being more important than garden space. Nature is retreating to nature reserves, where it is only available to those who can drive there. Most buses don't stop at nature areas, so a lot of people have lost the nature link. There's a risk that some sections of the community, particularly children, the elderly, and those with various forms of disability or illness, are being adversely affected. Fortunately, there are a few simple ways to reduce this impact. Even a container with a few flowers or herbs can attract passing insects, and a more careful use of trimmers or mowers on open spaces will help. However, when it comes to attracting insects, not all flowers are equal. Plant breeders are increasingly producing flowers with a complicated petal structure to have the greatest impact on plant buyers. But many insects can't easily feed from these blooms. Simple, flat, open petals can be more productive. While large flower heads may have more space for several insects at a time, plants with a high density of small nectar, rich individual flowers, can be more effective for bees and other insects.
I find rosemary is good for the early bees and hoverflies. Then cotoneasters become a good alternative. Although some varieties will grow to become a small tree, there are dwarf forms which also produce berries in the autumn for birds. There are several varieties of marjoram oregano which produce clusters of tiny nectar-rich flowers, as well as being useful for herb use in the kitchen. In suitable areas, a bird box or feeder will be helpful for resident birds. Be careful about your choice of bird boxes, because some cheap, poor quality boxes are too small and won't last. Check the recommended sizes. I make my own boxes, so I can add a few personal touches. When recently making replacement boxes for Andrew's wood, I tried a few with side entrance holes, hoping this might attract tree creepers, but found blue and great tits were also keen to use them. A weed is simply a flower in the wrong place, so I allow a few wild flowers to grow in my garden, although with some species I have to deadhead them before they set seed. Many years ago, a few large-flowered evening primroses arrived by their own efforts, and they are still here producing bright flowers on 4-foot-high stems. Red campions look good, but require careful management to prevent them from becoming too invasive. Another self-seeded arrival was tungsten, which is a member of the Hypericum family, but is more resistant to rust than some of the cultivated forms. The bright yellow flowers produce dark red berries which gradually age to black. Purple toad flax is a more recent arrival, with flower stems up to 5 feet, which bees find attractive. I have a grapevine which I leave to provide an autumn treat for the birds, particularly blackbirds. Natural food has been scarce this summer, and many berries are rather dry, so some birds have already started eating the grapes. Some wild and cultivated plants will initially fail to grow well where they have been planted, so they will gradually move by self-seeding until they find a more suitable location. Echiums keep appearing in the wrong place in my garden, but I often fail to grow well after I move them to a better spot. Although brambles are good for wildlife, they soon become too invasive for small gardens, and dandelions are a similar problem, although I am more tolerant of the sow thistle types, which lack that long taproot, so are easier to keep under control.